ears to hear and hearts to obey. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Alright, so do a little differently. I usually read the text and start giving out sermon points, but I'm going to flip that. So we're going to go ahead and start with the first sermon point. We'll go ahead and put that up if there. Our relationship with Christ brings the Spirit into our lives. Last week, we covered Romans 8, 1 through 11. But we're actually going to start in verse 9, so we're going to do a little bit of backtracking. Today, we're going to go 9 through 17, because 9 through 11, last week, when we looked at it, we really focused in on the glorification of these sinful lives and the hope that someday we're going to be able to have these sinful bodies replaced with glorified bodies, right? And that's going to happen when Christ comes back to call the church home. So we focus in on glorification, but I want to backtrack just a little bit and talk about the Spirit and how radically it affects our lives when the Spirit comes into our lives. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon people temporarily. It didn't permanently indwell people like it does now, like we're going to read about and continue to learn about today. So I'm going to give you several examples. These are not on the screen. If you're taking notes and you want to jot down some notes, you can just jot down these scripture references. So in the book of Judges, there are several examples of this. So this the book of Judges is all about how the nation of Israel fell into this cycle of sin. You've heard me talk about that before. So they would drift away from God, enter into sin. God would call a prophet or a judge to come to them and say, hey, you're sinning, this is what the Word of God says. Repent, confess, come back. And they would do that, and there would be a time of peace and a time of prosperity. And then they'd fall away again, and it was just this vicious cycle over and over and over. And so there's several examples here. In Judges chapter 6, verse 34, it says, the Spirit of the Lord enveloped Gideon. So Gideon is one of the judges. You can read about it. He's the one that put the police out for the Lord. That's Judges chapter 6. It doesn't say the Spirit indwelled him permanently. It says it enveloped him for this purpose. He had a mission. He had a task as a judge. As a prophet, he had a task, and so the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Judges chapter 11, the Spirit of the Lord came on Jephthah, another judge. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Samson, everybody remembers the story of Samson from Children's Church, right? When you were in the church. Samson. In Judges 13, verse 25, this is speaking of Samson. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him. There's other references that let us know that it wasn't permanent. 1 Samuel 16:14. This is, of course, the nation of Israel has demanded a king, and so they're giving Saul, and he's a wicked king. In 1 Samuel 16:14, it says, now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul. The Spirit of the Lord left him because he was wicked. All right, and then one of my favorite prayers in all of the Bible, Psalm 51. This is David after he has sinned against and with Bathsheba and sinned against Uriah, and the prophet Nathan confronts him and exposes his sin. He cries out to God in repentance in Psalm 51. And in verse 11 of Psalm 51, he says, do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit is very active. Sometimes we think that the Spirit is just a New Testament thing. But the Spirit was around and active in the Old Testament. But it was different before Jesus came. The way that the Spirit interacted with people was different. So just sort of setting that framework as we look now at how the Spirit works in our lives today. All right, so the first point, our relationship with Christ brings the Spirit into our lives. So then the sub-point under that, letter A, we are filled by the Spirit. We are filled by the Spirit. jot down the references and I'll reinforce. We are filled by the Spirit, and that is every believer without exception. Some different people, some different denominations believe that you're not saved unless you're filled with the Spirit, and they're talking about the giftings of the Spirit. But we believe that the Bible teaches that when you get saved at that moment, you are indwelt permanently with the Holy Spirit. Alright? Ephesians 1:13. In Him, you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. That's talking about when you get saved, right? The gospel of your salvation, when you believe, when you heard the word of truth, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So when you became a believer in Christ, you are permanently indwelled by the Holy Spirit. We are filled by the Spirit forever. It's not temporary. We are filled by the Spirit forever. John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor. That's another term for the Spirit. To be with you forever. So, when we get filled with the Spirit, we are filled forever. Alright? We are filled by the Spirit, and because of that, we've got to remember that our body is a temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. So that's why we're always talking about not only what we believe, but the way we live it out, the things that we do, the way that we live. And so, that's why the church is not contained inside four walls. The church is wherever the believer is, right? So when we leave here, the church goes out into the community. We got to remember our body is a temple. We need to treat our bodies with respect because our body is a temple of the Lord. All right. So we are filled by the Spirit. Letter B, we are led by the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. Let me read verses 12 through 14 of Romans 8 now. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Because if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. Y'all read that with me. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. We are led by the Spirit. Now, the Spirit can be grieved. The Spirit can be quenched. We read that in the Bible. And that is why Paul is hammering home this point that we have got to fight sin and put sin to death. Because the presence of sin in the life of a believer can quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's work in us can be interrupted. Now remember, I said, according to the Bible, we are permanently indwelt. So we don't have to worry about the Spirit of the Lord being taken away from us. But it can be quenched, it can be grieved, it can be frustrated, interrupted. And I'll try to give you an example. If you are friends with me or Kristen on Facebook, you're probably sick of seeing all the Lord's pictures, right? We're volunteering. William said no, thank you, brother. We'll keep most of them anyway. So I've always wanted a horse, never been around them, Kristen. Grew up around them, and so we got an opportunity to volunteer at a horse We don't want any kinks in the hose, all right? All right, so how does the Spirit lead us? The point is we're led by the Spirit, okay? Well, how does the Spirit do that? Tony Evans, one of my favorite preachers, out in Texas, Dallas, wonderful man. I like the way he has described how the Spirit leads us. He uses the example of a drunk person, an intoxicated person. When we say that somebody's drunk, we say they're under the influence. They're under the influence, right? So they walk differently, right? They stagger. Remember Otis on Andy Griffith? He did that lean on, right? We walk differently, right? I just embarrassed Max and embarrassed him. That's okay. We act differently, right? People that can't sing a lick all of a sudden think they sing wonderful. And they sing at the top of their lungs, right? Talk differently. Your speech comes out slurred and all that, right? Because the person is under the influence. So the thing controlling them, in this case, alcohol, changes the way they live while they're under its control. Christians should live under the influence of the Spirit. The Spirit should lead us every day of our lives, and it should affect the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we act. It happened with my singing voice, but I sure do love to sing, so I'm just going to keep on singing because it's just making joyful noise, right? We're to live under the influence of the Spirit. So a couple of specific ways that the Spirit leads us, and then we'll move forward. Again, these scripture references won't be on the screen. The Spirit leads us through conviction. John 16:7-8 says, "Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away," this is Jesus speaking. "Because if I don't go away, the Counselor, the Spirit, will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict," y'all say convict, "he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment." So the Spirit leads us by convicting us. We're God's children, and he wants to see us live holy lives and do the right things. And so when we're getting into something we shouldn't, he convicts us. He's lovingly calling us back. "Hey, that's bad for you. Sin leads to death. Come back." He convicts us. Another way that the Spirit leads us is through guidance. He guides us. John 16:13 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." So we're led by the Spirit through conviction, through guidance. What else? Through discernment. We're led by the Spirit through discernment. 1 Corinthians 2:14. "But the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit, because it's foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it, since it is evaluated spiritually." So this is communicated sort of in the negative. So let's flip it around to the positive. The person with the Spirit receives what is coming from God's Spirit. It is not foolishness to him. Right? He is able to understand it, since it's evaluated spiritually. So Christians are led by the Spirit through discernment. And that just happens when, you know, conviction is after you've already stepped in, right? Discernment is, "Hey, look out, don't step in." Discernment is a warning not to do it. Conviction is calling you in love to come away from it, from the sin that is hurting you. Right? So there's a difference there. Conviction, guidance, discernment. And then the last one I'll mention is giftings, spiritual gifts. We are led by the Spirit through the giftings of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7 says, "There are different gifts with the same Spirit. There are different ministries, the same Lord. Different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. The Spirit gives us, that's part of the way He leads us, and He does that for the common good. So the gift that He gives Marty is for the benefit of the church and her family and the people around her. It's not necessarily just for her, right? The giving that's given to Kristen, it's to benefit the church. And the beautiful thing is, it's just like a puzzle. When we put all of us together, it all fits together perfectly, and we're able to do what God's called us to do, and we can do more together than we can ever do on our own. Right? That's part of the way that the Spirit leads us, through the giftings. All right, so we are filled by the Spirit, we are led by the Spirit. Now let's move on to number two. Our relationship with Christ changes us from slaves to sons. That's a really big deal. It's easy to read that and not think that it's a big deal. That is huge. Let's read 15 through 17 now. For you did not receive a spirit slavery to fall back into fear. We'll come back to that in a minute. Instead, you receive the spirit of adoption. We'll come back to that in a couple of extra minutes. By whom we cry out, Abba Father. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs. It's hard for me to read that. The Savior that died on the cross for you and me, we are co-heirs. I'm not worthy to be co-anything with Christ. And yet the Bible says that through Jesus, we are co-heirs with Christ. That's amazing. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Now next week, we're going to look at the next passage of Scripture, and it touches even more on the suffering. So we're not going to talk about this aspect of suffering today, but it's coming, okay? We are children of God, co-heirs with Christ. It's amazing. So remember a few weeks ago back in Romans 6, 17 and 18, Paul wrote about how people are slaves to sin. I just want to refresh our memory real quick. Paul wrote Romans 6, 17, and 18. But thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching to which you were handed over. And having been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. That's a beautiful thing. And Paul continues to work this out and flesh this out as we're working our way through Romans. He'll hit on the topic, go to the next thing, and then circle back and hit it again because he knows we need to hear more. We need to instead of living like that, we get to live as children of God. And as God's children, this will be letter A, or point number two, as God's children, we receive access to God. We receive access to God. Now, everybody has access to God, potentially, as Savior. Right? The offer of salvation is available to every single person who has ever lived or ever will live on the planet. But once you become a Christian, you receive a different access to God than you had when you were separated from Him in sin. Right? Our access changes for the better. Lots of people would say that they know that there is God, but there's a lot of people that would say that don't know God personally. Right? I think I've used this example before. My mom used to talk about celebrities like she was on a first-name basis with them, a really good friend with them. And she talked about them as if she knew them, but all she knew of them was from a distance. Like whatever she read or saw on TV. And she would talk about them. But she didn't like know them and sit down and have meals with them and really have a relationship with them. Right? So she knew about them, but she didn't know them. Right? When I was a kid and I was going through my crazy WWF stage, I could tell you every wrestler, every fact about them, and I felt like I knew them, buddy. I was so into it. I didn't know them. I knew about them. Right? There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God through a relationship. Alright, so now, I'm just going to use myself for an example. I know lots of kids, and lots of kids know me in different roles. Right? Some kids know me as Brother Grant, as the preacher. Right? Some kids know me as Coach Grant. And that is proof that they'll let anybody else coach. Because I wasn't very good at sports, but here I am. I love being out there with those kids. And it thrills me so much to see a kid that has been 2 or 3 years since they were on the team that Drew was on and I helped coach. You know, say, hey, coach, yeah, I probably don't mean anything to them, but I'm like, that's amazing. Right? So some kids know me as coach. And I love that. Some kids know me as preacher. Some kids in our neighborhood just know me as Drew Miranda's dad, the neighbor. Right? Some kids specifically know me as Uncle. One of them in particular likes to call me Uncle Daddy because his daddy's about my height. He's got a really thick, cool beard that I could never grow in a million years. But in Gigi's eyes, Gibson, he just looks and sees a big old guy. And so he's got Daddy and Uncle Daddy. Right? So to him, I get to be Uncle Daddy. Right? But Drew and Miranda know me as Dad. And that's a different kind of relationship than with any other kid, right? I get to be their dad. You know, the word that's used in this passage is Abba, Father. And that, literally, a modern translation of that would be Dad. It's that level of relationship and closeness. When we cry out, Abba, Father, it's just like crying out, Daddy. So for Drew and Miranda, they know me as Daddy. They have a different access, a different relationship. I'm their father, right? Everybody has access to God as Savior. That offer is for whosoever will, right? And the Bible tells us that God is patient and He is waiting for everyone to come to repentance. Everyone's not going to, but if we have free will, we can accept or reject, but He is patiently waiting for all that will. Jesus is not coming back until all that, according to the time, responded, and he's speaking with the Jews, and they have just told him that they're not slaves to anything, because he's trying to tell them, you know, the Son set you free, and they say, well, we're not enslaved to anything. Verse 34, Jesus responded, truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You will really be free. And so he's talking, he's comparing the difference of the slave did not have access that the Son did, right? The Son remains in the house forever. The Son, when the Father passes away, receives the inheritance, right? Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abram, go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. Now remember, he don't have a kid at this point, and he's telling him, I'm going to make you into a nation. He's probably thinking, right now I can't even be made into a neighborhood. No, you're going to be made into a nation. Abram. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Y'all say that with me. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through Abraham. Now, Abraham lived and died a long time ago. So how can all the people of the earth be blessed through a guy that lived and died a long time ago? Through Jesus. Abraham was blessed with a son. He was made into a nation, the nation of Israel. And through that lineage, all the way to King David, all the way to Mary and Joseph, Jesus came. And through him, all the peoples of the earth are blessed. In Christ, what Paul is saying over and over, in Christ, those in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, we are free from slavery to sin and we have the hope of eternal life. We receive an inheritance, right? We are children of God, co-heirs of Christ. All right, so we've talked a lot about the slavery aspect. I said we were going to come back to the adoption aspect. It's hard for me to truly understand the impact of adoption, spiritual adoption, which is what we're talking about here. It's hard for me to grasp that because never one day in my life did I have to live apart from the love of a mother and a father, like so many people have had to and are living today. And so the concept of adoption hits me differently than it would somebody that's lived this, right? But I'm trying to get past that. I'm trying to understand it because I want to grasp it. I want to see all the beauty of this idea that we were separated from him, and now we are grafted in the vine, right? We are brought into the family. We are adopted into the family. It's a beautiful thing. So I want to show you a short video now. Glenn's going to cut the lights down for us. This is a news report about a young man named Davian, and it'll take just a second for him to pull it up, but Davian was wanting to be adopted, and so this new story tells his story.
Some tactic to let down Daniel's neighbor, Colin is free, and he stands telling his story.
Davian always says that he never gave up on his dream. He wants a lot of a family. So on Sunday, the 17-year-old foster child, Mount Dressel, took him up to the start of the church where he saw everyone with a simple request, but not a simple
Kids that just want somebody to his spiritual father. Some of them kind of feel like they know that they need that. Some of them have no idea that they need that. But all of them desperately need a spiritual father. But sadly, many of them will never know God as Father because they won't accept Jesus as Savior. They're not willing to be in Christ. And we have to be in Christ to have that access to God the Father. And so you think about what it means that we have been adopted. The text is the spirit of adoption. By whom we cry out, Abba Father, by whom we cry out, Daddy. It's an amazing thing. And sometimes our faith and our salvation can just feel dry and like, God, I've read that so many times. But to really consider what it means to be completely lost and separated, to be adopted. He didn't choose us because we were so great and so worthy. He brought us in. Right? If we had been able to have the conversation with God, if we had even understood what was happening, we might have said, I got some temper problems. You know, I got some issues. But I just want somebody to love me no matter what. God does that. God does that. God does that for you if you're a born-again believer. God will do that for you if you're not a born-again believer. All you got to do is confess and repent and believe and accept the offer that He's made. Romans 8 tells us that in Christ we've been brought from slaves to sons. If you've experienced that in your life, aren't you thankful? Then God did. Amen. If you've never experienced that, today can be the day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we don't even fully understand it, but we praise your holy name, God, that you have brought us into your family, the family of God. We are sons and daughters of God. What a blessing. What an amazing gift, God. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you love us no matter what. Thank you that you did for us through your only begotten Son. You did for us what we could never do for ourselves. Jesus is the bridge from our sin and separation to closeness, relationship, right standing with God. God, we are so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful, Lord, for the Spirit. The Spirit that fills us and leads us. The Spirit that causes us to cry out, Abba, Father, and doesn't cause us to live in fear anymore. God, I pray that your Spirit would move in this place in every mind and every heart. I pray, God, that there's anybody that's listening to this, in this room, watching on Facebook, I don't know their standing with you. God, you know what each person needs. I pray that you would use the Spirit to lead the lost to be found in you. God, do what only you can do. God, move in our lives. We don't want the bare minimum of you. We want as much of you, Lord, as you want to pour out on us. Lord, we are praying for your Spirit to move, not just in this room, not just on Facebook, but in this community, in this world. We're praying for revival. We're praying for hearts to change. For lives to change. And God, as your sons and daughters, use us to be a part of that great harvest, God. Stir our hearts, God, to where where we don't desire anything more than you. Anything that is in our lives that's distracting us from you. Any sin that's in our lives is like a kick in the hose that's frustrating. And the Holy Spirit, we pray God that you would reveal that. Take that away from us, God. Draw us towards you so that we can live lives that glorify you, God. Lord, we're going to have a time of invitation as we do every week, God. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will move. I pray, God, that you talk to each individual person, that you give us just a holy concentration, a holy ability to find out the distractions and just, as one of all the preachers used to say, just do business with the Lord. We just want to come before you, God, and ask you to reveal any way in us that's offensive to you and remove it from us so that we can be closer to you. We want more of you, God. We love you, God. Do what only you can do. Save the lost. Disciple the saved. Grow your church for your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And if you would stand to your feet, we're going to sing. If you want to respond to anything that the Word of God has said, anything that the Spirit of God is leading you to do, you can do that. If I walk in this aisle and come and talk to me, you can come and talk to me after the service. I'm available during the week to sit down and have a conversation and talk through and pray through anything that you might be dealing with the Lord about. So whether you want to get saved, I would say, if you want to get saved, let's do that today. Today is the day of salvation. If you want somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you and celebrate with you and make that decision. If there's anything else that you need to do, you can do that now. The gospel is very simple. Jesus died so that we can live. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. No amount of good works, no amount of doing the best I can to be a good person, no amount of comparing myself to somebody else and saying, I might not measure up to the Bible, but I'm doing better than him, I'm doing better than her. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is if we are in Christ. If you cannot say that you are in Christ, if you die right now and you're not 100% sure that you would leave this place and come into the presence of God, you don't have to leave this room carrying that weight. You can make that decision today. Confess and repent, believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. God raised him from the dead, and the Bible says you will be saved. No fine print, no hoops to jump through. Jesus paid.